Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing, joy to all, hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home.
Reading from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Tuesday, Testimony Tuesday, December 7th, 2021. I have a special guest in the studio that I'm very excited to share with you. I've been getting to know him over the years, mainly through Pinnacle Forum or some of the settings where he spoke and I attended. But this past week, I had the opportunity. He came and spoke to our small group Pinnacle study. And then after that, he shared at noon to our Ministry Leaders Network. And so I got to spend a few hours with him, getting to know some of the stories and the parallels between how God has been at work in his life and the many people that we have in common, friendship and mentors and life experiences. And so with me in the studio, sometimes it takes me about 6 minutes into the program to introduce my guest, Rick, but we're going to get right into it because there's so much to your story. And I believe a blessing in store for many listeners, whether they're high capacity leaders, whether they're servants, whether they're struggling with a decision, maybe they had expectations for their work or their future, and it seems like God has another role for them to take. Maybe they struggled with depression and need clarity of mind, or maybe just an encouraging word to say God is in control. But with me in the studio is Rick Stevens, and I'm holding up your new book and your first book, In Plain Sight, Making Faith the Bedrock of Your Career, by Rick Stevens, and there's a study guide included, which is wonderful, Rick, because as I read this book in preparation for this interview, I read it about a month and a half back, but as I reread it for today's interview, I went back to the study guide and looked at some of the summary and summary questions, and that helped me get an immediate awareness of, oh yeah, I love that part of this chapter and how he challenged us to think that through or to dream big. And one of the chapters titled Hitting Rock Bottom was a real interesting one. So I'm going to read a couple excerpts in light of our interview today. But I appreciate your testimony. You're an entrepreneur. Many people that have hobbies and love remote control devices, airplanes, cars, trains. Rick Stevens is the founder of Horizon Hobby. In fact, he started it in his basement about 35 years ago, and it grew to be over a $330 million internationally recognized hobby company. We began with Jeremiah 29:11, and that's where I'm going to start with because it's a fascinating verse, and yet it's one of your favorite verses referenced and cited in your book, In Plain Sight, which I highly recommend. Listening friend, we actually even have copies at the Radio Center at Marketplace Mall, but you can get this online, and I think I saw them at the Muhammad IGA and probably other locations, but it's titled In Plain Sight, P-L-A-N-E, In Plain Sight, Making Faith the Bedrock of Your Career. And I think everyone could benefit, whether it's a pastor dealing with high-capacity leaders and wants to get an insider's view and how they think and plan and dream, to the housewife that just wants to see how God wants to be at work in her life, helping her to become an influencer, to children of all ages. I thoroughly love this book and would highly recommend it. But back to Jeremiah 29:11, it says, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. Break that down for us. Why is that special to you, and how did you see God use that to affirm and encourage and bless you?
Well, thank you, Mark, and thanks for allowing me to be here today and to talk to you. This is quite a privilege to be able to talk about my faith and to talk about how God's worked in my life. And getting back to the study guide, I just want to say, first of all, that that is a really, really good study guide. Mm-hmm. In the back of the book. And the reason it is because I didn't write it.
Yeah.
Joe Thomas, who is a professor at the Urbana Theological Seminary, did that for me. And it was a he just did a terrific job. And even others have commented, you know, other people in publishing have commented about the strength of that study guide. Your question was something like, what does Jeremiah 29:11 mean to me? I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. It's just such a positive, inspiring, encouraging word from God that reminds me that whatever is going on in my life, God created me. And he is in control. He is in charge. Nothing surprises him. And he is always there. I heard someone say one time that, you know, you can have as much of God as you want. And that has always stuck with me and kind of convicted me because I don't spend as much time with God as I could. And yet I can have as much of my Creator as I want. So God is always there. He's always in control. And his plans are for me to prosper. And that doesn't mean economically necessarily, but to prosper in life and to not be harmed and to have hope in the future. And it's helpful in the worst of times, and it's helpful in the best of times.
Now, you didn't just come to this knowledge overnight. There's an element of your faith journey that's kind of that sanctification process that, you know, you came to know Christ and you grew in him, and that didn't mean that everything just always worked out perfect, that you began this Horizon hobby in your basement and everything has always been great. You've been fired before. You've had disappointments, some marital struggles like many of us, many people go through. And so take us a little bit through that faith journey, coming to know Jesus, because it is Testimony Tuesday. So take us back into those formative years. Who helped influence you or led you to the awareness that you needed Jesus, that you were flawed, you were a sinner, and then how God used mentors and others. So take us through, if you will, your faith journey.
Well, when I was growing up, we never really spent a lot of time going to church. We were not really a church-going family. We went occasionally, but, you know, it just never was a big part of our life. Then when I was 17 years old, I was dating a beautiful young woman named Nelda Alexander. And Nelda actually was in a car that got hit by a train a couple of weeks after I'd taken her to homecoming, our senior year. And she was the one person who died from that accident. And that was a shocking event to me, and I write about it in the book and give more detail, but it certainly got my attention because I'd heard a little bit about God, and I'd heard the importance of God and going to heaven and all that stuff, as we all do, but it never registered. And then I started thinking, when Nelda died at 17, maybe I can't wait until I'm my mother's age or my father's age or something to start thinking about, okay, now I've got my life done. How am I going to get to heaven? Because I may not be around, you know, so maybe I need to be thinking about it now. Well, that just created questions.
Right.
It didn't really solve anything. It just was there kind of in my mind. And then when I went to my freshman year at Northern Illinois University, I was a very lonely young man, still reeling from the tragedy, and a couple of guys from Campus Crusade for Christ were on a cold turkey evangelism mission, which, you know, we all kind of, you know, in quotes, have, well, we all have our own thoughts about what that means. But in this case, it was pretty powerful because they stopped by my table, asked if they could sit down. I was looking for any kind of a friend, so I said, sure, sit down. I mean, I'd like to meet somebody. And so they started sharing with me the four spiritual laws, and God loves us, and he cares for us, and he wants to have a personal relationship with us. But the second law is that we kind of mess it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we create a chasm between us because we ignore him and we just live for ourselves. And then the third law is that there is a bridge. There is a way to still have that personal relationship with God, even though in our human nature, we want to, you know, think about self-preservation and self-control. And Jesus is the way, is the bridge that gets us from where we are to where we can have a personal relationship with God. And then the fourth spiritual law is just simply that, are we going to accept the gift or not? Do we leave it on the table? Do we just say, I don't want to unwrap that. I'm just going to leave that gift on the table, and I'm going to live my life the way that I want to, because, you know, I have all these preconceived notions about what it means to live as God wants me to live, but none of them sound like very much fun to me.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people make that decision. Well, you know, this finally made sense to me, and a few weeks later, I actually asked Christ to come into my life. I said, I don't understand this. I don't know what you're talking about here. But these four laws kind of make sense from a creation standpoint, the complexity of our bodies, the way that the world is made and stuff. Must be a God. And if that's the case, you probably want to have a relationship
mm-hmm,
with me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what this means, but I just want to accept Christ as my Savior, and then help me to understand what that means, God. That was pretty much my prayer.
You know, I love it. It parallels with one of my favorite verses, James 4:8, the draw near to God and he'll draw near to you, or come near to God and he'll come near to you. Because I'm sure, Rick, there's maybe skeptics tuned in, somebody who's scanning the dial, and they're like, a God? I don't believe in a God. But if they would sit down and just rationally think it through, well, there must be some purpose and ultimate meaning to life. I mean, we didn't just evolve out of a primordial slime and it just happened and nothing makes sense. There's order, there's integrity, there's love, there's certain characteristics that there has to be something behind it all. And I know there's many different points of view and how it all worked, but if you just break it down to some of the simplistic things like, yeah, there's probably a God, or maybe I can entertain the idea there's a God. And then if you open yourself up to that idea, you read the scriptures and you open your heart and mind to the possibility or the plausibility that there could be a God, I believe God, as it reveals in James 4:8, if you draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. So God began revealing yourself through these individuals, through you attending church, reading God's word, other mentors coming in and pouring into your life. Did everything then just go perfectly from that point on?
Well, of course it did, Mark. Of course it. No, it did not. It did not all go well after that. It was the beginning of a journey.
Yeah.
It was the beginning of a very long journey that here I am, 60 years, 50, a lot of decades later.
Yeah, sure.
Decades later, and I am still... I'm still learning. I'm still trying to figure it out. I know more than I knew then.
Yeah.
And in 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Mm-hmm. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. That's a verse that I kind of latched on to in the beginning. And I don't understand this, God, but, you know, you say you're going to make me a new man. I know it's not going to be overnight. I'm going to still have the same desires. I'm still going to have the same personality and everything else that I've always had. But I'm on this journey now. Make me a new man. As I look back on it decades later, I see that I'm in a very different place mm-hmm. today than I was then. And, you know, the first few weeks, the first month, whatever, I kind of learned a little bit about God. But then over time, as I learned more and more and more, I changed.
Yeah.
I became that new man that God wanted me to be. And more so, anyway. I'm still working on it.
Yeah, and thank you, God, that he's patient with us and kind and compassionate and recognize that we're flawed. And I think a helpful factor in my faith journey and yours that's recounted throughout this book in plain sight is that we're on that adventure, that journey, and it is a process. That word sanctification comes to mind, that we don't just suddenly become perfect and never sin or fall short again. It's a process. It's maybe sometimes three steps forward, two steps back. And so we can take heart that God's never finished with us, that through our dying days that we can still grow and learn and flourish and get to know him. In case you just tuned in the studio with me is Rick Stevens. He's a successful entrepreneur and business leader who is passionate and purposeful about making faith in God the central part of his business and career. And I know this firsthand because I guess about 26 years ago, I met with Larry, your brother, Larry Stevens. We should do a shout out because he's mentioned throughout your book as one of your go-to, well, not only a brother and a supporter and financially invested, and then using his skills and gifts to help Horizon Hobby become the great company that it is.
Yeah, very important ingredient.
And so this book, In Plain Sight, I can't recommend it highly enough. I hope you'll purchase multiple copies. As mentioned, we have some at the Great News Radio Center, but you can get them online. It's probably in Kindle and probably a lot of different ways. Yeah, the Schnooks in Muhammad. I might have said the IGA. I knew from Brooks Marsh's days, but Schnooks now owns it. But if they need to get in touch with you or maybe invite you to come speak at their church or large group, how would they get in touch with this book or with you? Is there a number or a website you'd recommend?
There is a website, but probably the best way to get a hold of me is through my email, which is Rick, R-I-C-K, at investres.net, investrace.net, with just one T, investres.net.
And if you're driving to work or weren't able to write that down, call the station and we can connect you with it, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. Well, I was thinking, Rick, this past Thursday when you were meeting with our Pinnacle small group and then with the pastors, you got to mention how God has taken you really from your basement in this international front runner in the industry of hobbies and such. I mean, Horizon Hobby is internationally known, and how God gave you vision and excitement to care for people and to care for those you served. And you were sharing a number of business principles with the guys, and I appreciated that. Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to go back to, how Horizon Hobby became one of our founding members 26 years ago. That's why I brought up Larry, because Larry and I got to talk and share. And I said, hey, do you want to do a dedicated day or something? And I remember coming to Horizon Hobby with my microphone. It was one of the first times I was doing interviews with a portable mic. And he said, oh, we don't want any of the glory. Horizon Hobby doesn't want any of the credit, but we want to honor our great team. And I interviewed people and they talked about, yeah, one time one of our workers, there was a storm and they lost their roof. And so all the employees or many of the employees rallied around and spent a few days roofing. And another story about how people helped this individual during a crisis or a medical need. And so the dedicated day was all about these testimonies of your employees, the Horizon Hobby employees, serving other employees or serving the community. And so that's something that you've been passionate about as you read the scriptures and you and your wife, Janine, really wanted to dedicate your work to the Lord and yet do it with godly principles. So talk a little about Horizon Hobby in our closing minute or two.
It's a longer story than that, but in essence, I've led a couple of other companies. I had a vision for where I wanted those companies to go, but I wasn't the owner, and the owner gets to set the vision. So I actually got fired from two very good jobs, and it was devastating. It was really difficult, but over time, I saw how Jeremiah 29:11 really works because it was the right thing that needed to happen. I just didn't realize it. What I wanted was to start a company based on biblical values. a company that had the values of the golden rule, treating other people as we'd like to be treated, the servant leadership model where you provide other people with the resources that they need to be successful, and then you let them go with guidance, but you let them go. Mm-hmm. The customer is the boss. They're the ones who write the check, write our paychecks. And so those three values were critical to our success. And I love to hear about how Larry took you around to other people and allowed you to interview them, because people are smart. Mm-hmm. They're really smart and they can do things. And most of the time they could do things better than Larry and I. And so if we could just set up the structure and the infrastructure and the organization and then give them the resources to excel, then that's a pretty good formula for success.
And you derived or drew from the scriptures that one verse, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbors yourself as, mm-hmm. you know, loving the sure. customer, loving the employees, and the golden rule, you know, customer service and putting others first. And
that was all of that was the outgrowth of who we were internally as a company and as a group of people.
Well, the book is titled In Plain Sight, Making Faith the Bedrock of Your Career. I highly recommend it. I hope you'll purchase multiple copies. It's still time to get it as a Christmas gift for your friends and neighbors and coworkers. And if you need more information, call the station, 217-367-7777, 217-367-7777. I think you'll be really blessed. And the study guide, it'd be a great one to work through in a small group, or maybe as just your family. You'll see there's fascinating questions as you read the chapter, and then there's scripture involved and other things that you can talk about and share. And so In Plain Sight by Rick Stevens, our guest today on Testimony Tuesday. And there's so many stories in this book of his life journey and his love story. We didn't get to do many shout outs for Janine, but we'll maybe have to have you both back another time and share some of the ways God has worked in both of your lives. But we appreciate Horizon Hobby being founding partners with this radio ministry 26 years ago, and the success that so many of the employees have had because they're quality people that produce a quality product and have great customer service. So, well, thank you, Rick, and appreciate all the time you've been able to spend with me last Thursday and then even today on the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends.
Thank you, Mark. It's been a pleasure.
Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Rick Stevens with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you, and have a great day and night.